Psalm 90, there's 17 verses here. Let me read that for you today before we begin. Psalm 90, verse 1, this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, and Moses writes, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children, and unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning, and may all the church and all the saints and all the people say Amen. We are looking at the oldest hymn in the book of Psalms, as it is Psalm 90, the very first psalm ever written, though it appears here in the book of Psalms as Psalm 90. And the reason that it appears as Psalm 90 is simply because the compilers of the Psalms did not put the Psalms in chronological order, nor in an order of importance as such. They are there, though, exactly where God wanted them to be. And though Psalm 90 is exactly the first Psalm ever written, and written by Moses, it is no less now important, though it's at Psalm number 90. Now, don't ask me why God did that. I just don't know. Fascinatingly, it was written by Moses at a time, though, when the Hebrew children he had led out of Egypt had refused to enter the promised land, and God was now punishing the nation for their sin. And it's fascinating to read the story and see how that they went and spied out the land, and 12 of those spies, those 12 spies, came back and gave this report of how things were. And 10 of them said that we couldn't take it over. They couldn't take it over because there were giants in the land. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said we could. We could take the land with no problem. Suffice it to say, what they brought back should have been enough. They brought back clusters of grapes that the men had to actually haul on a stave on their shoulders between themselves, and the other fruits of the land. And it was flowing with milk and honey, but they rebelled and wanted to go back to Egypt rather than going into the promised land. So God punished them. And at the time of this writing, election now had taught Moses much, and it had taught him that God was not a God you could trifle with, that he was ultimately sovereign. It taught Moses much about it, as a matter of fact. And in this series that is developing here about what election has taught me, I know for a fact that in my life, election has taught me much and is teaching me much, and it will teach you much. If you don't understand what election is, let me just tell you real quick. That is God's moving to choose a people unto himself before the world ever was. Way back in the eons of time, he did this thing. And when he did it, he wrote down the names of those who would be saved. And I don't want you to be I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning as to what I mean when I say election has taught me. What I want to tell you is that what God has done in electing me to salvation has opened my heart and mind to his word, his way, his will. Truly, everything I have come to know spiritually, that is biblically, I would not know this day if he had not elected me unto salvation. No one comes to the knowledge of the spiritual things of God apart from the wonder-working power of God in them. And God is only in those whom he has elected unto salvation. And it is only by his election that they are brought to salvation. He having given them to Christ, and Christ through his vicarious atoning work on the cross, bringing that election unto salvation into reality for each one he wrote in his life book. They, and only they, that God has elected and Christ has died for, are given the mind of Christ by which they are enabled to know the things of God. Paul bears this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We refer to these verses in our church often, but there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there, verse 9, we are told by the Apostle Paul that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, when I read that part in verse 9, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, I know by the word of God that is inclusive of all men without exception. No one comes into this world having all that knowledge already. Not a single man, not even those that are elected unto salvation. However, there is an exception made for those who have been elected unto salvation, the second half of verse 9, and as a result, God has prepared for them these spiritual things and gave them the ability to know them. They are prepared for them that love him, and only those that are elected unto salvation, whose salvation has come to its impetus through Jesus Christ on the cross, know these things. Matter of fact, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, God hath revealed these things unto his people, unto us that are saved by his Spirit, which the Spirit only does in those whom God has elected unto salvation. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that searcheth has the idea of collecting in this case. And what he collects is the things that God would have us know from, if I may be so trite, God's filing cabinet, that wondrous great mind of his, and then shows them unto us as God wills and pleases. So verse 11 says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He only knows the physical things by what God has allowed him to know in this world, allows him to walk upright and get out of the rain, but he still doesn't know the spiritual things until he's saved. Even so, the things of God can no man know. It has to be done by the Spirit of God in him, or he'll never come to it. No man comes into the world with godlike prowess over the spiritual realm, whereby he would hold all the extreme knowledge of God. Man is absolutely dumb to the knowledge of God. Man is absolutely dead to God and unable to know the things of God until God saves him. So verse 12 reads, now we have received, We here, meaning those that have been elected unto salvation and have been brought to salvation, they have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, whereby they might know the things of God. The spirit of the world teaches only the physical things of the world. But the Spirit of God, which we have received, that have been saved, that have been freely given to us by God, learn and know these things of God. And we serve and worship Him as a result. And these are the things which we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but we speak those things of God that come from His Word, that are verified by His Word, and live by His Word as the Spirit directs. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, tells us verse 14, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can the natural man, that is the man without Christ, know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And only spiritual discernment is given to those who are elected unto salvation and who have come to know salvation by God's sovereign election. Look down at verse 16. And it is only these, those elected unto salvation, that have been given the mind of Christ. Only those can understand the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That is how we come to know these grand doctrines of the Word of God, and certainly God's election of a people that He intended to save is one of those grand doctrines. As it pertains to all of those that have been saved and will be saved, their salvation has been, and even now, is the central defining purpose of Christ. In the vast eons of eternity past, it was decided by God to have a people for Himself. And there and then He established and inaugurated His election of those people, His choice of those people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 bears that out. Before the foundations of the world, He chose these unto salvation. That is why in part 1 of this series of the things election has taught me, I told you that first and foremost, the saints have been, are, and will be in Christ forever. Psalm 90, verse 2. Verse 2 tells us that before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And if that be so, and it is, God is absolutely, sovereignly, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. If you don't know those terms, omnipotent means all-powerful. Omniscient means all-knowing. Omnipresent means everywhere at once. Moses said it right, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And folks, if God is omniscient, that is all-knowing, He is the creator of all knowledge and has known all things for all times, including everything there is to know about you. He's God. There's never been a time, and we can't even use time when we talk about Him, because He is eternal. But He has known all things for all time, best I can say it. Therefore, if you are saved today, His election of you is also from everlasting, having been in God's mind forever. And if it was Christ's intent that that divine election to save you come to pass, and evidently it did on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, then according to verse 1 of Psalm 90, the Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations, past, present, and future. The four things that I listed last week in that sermon, and if you want to listen to that, you can find it on sermonaudio.com/PBC Pulaski. There I said that the Lord has been our dwelling place from eternity past. For we were written on his heart and engraven on his hands, as he is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And secondly, that makes him our dwelling place also on the cross. He dying for us to save us. And if you're saved today, he definitely is your dwelling place right now here in the present. And lastly, though there is much more to be learned, he will be forever our dwelling place in eternity future. Why? Because we have been elected unto salvation, and salvation has found its exclamation point when Jesus says it is finished from the cross, when he died there for our sins. Psalm 91:1, the next psalm over, reads, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I can take that shall abide in that verse to eternity past right through to eternity future. Because if you are saved today, you are abiding under and in the shadow of the Almighty. You were in eternity past. He knew you then. You will be in eternity future because you'll be with him physically in heaven some glad morning. Once again, I want to read to you what my Facebook friend Bud Alheim wrote. He said, quote, God has never in all eternity viewed his elect saints except as being in Christ. Never, not even before their temporal existence, have saints been in the Father's view apart from Christ. Alheim goes on to say, though our redemption is worked out in time, it was established in eternity. Thus, the security of the saint was not established at Calvary. It was established in eternity. And Calvary becomes the Father's exclamation point to his electing, redemptive, reconciling grace. Apprehension of this grace truth surely humbles us before him, magnifies glory to him, and ought to embolden us for him, unquote. And I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. So today, let's go a little further. And here is the fifth thing that election has taught me. And what it has taught me is that God has absolute control over all his creation. You might want to write that down. That would be a nice thing to put in a frame and hang in your house. Write it on a 3x5 card and put it on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror or on your dresser mirror in your bedroom to remind you that God is absolutely in control of his creation, all his creation, and everything that goes on in it. In fact, God is absolutely sovereign over everything and everybody, seeing that he created it all and for his own good pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And so election teaches us then, as it pertains to God's creation of all things, that our entry into existence was by the hand of God. Secondly, election teaches us that the extent of our existence is purely by the hands of God. And thirdly, election teaches us that our exit into eternity is in the hands of God. Now, let me repeat that because this is so important to what else I'm going to say today. Election has taught me that God has absolute control over all his creation. In fact, God is absolutely sovereign over everything and everybody, seeing that he has created it all. And for his good pleasure, it was created, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Sovereign means ultimate control in the real sense of it. And so, election, number one, teaches us then, as it pertains to God's creation of all things and all people and persons, which is one and the same, I'm being redundant, Our entry into existence then is by the hand of God. Number two, election teaches us that the extent of our existence is by the hands of God. How long we will exist is in the hands of God, is sustained and maintained by the hands of God. Number three, election teaches us that our exit into eternity someday will be by the hands of God, is in the hands of God, and He will do as He pleases as to the date and time already preordained before the world ever was. So, looking at how the election teaches that us that our entry into existence was by the hand of God, we look at verse 3. Now, when you first look at verse 3 of Psalm 90, it might confuse you a little bit, because what it says in the very first part of the verse, that God, says Moses, turnest man to destruction. Now, if you do a little digging, the understanding here is that Moses understands by this fact of God turning man to destruction that God has set the parameters of man's existence. Thus, if God has the power to take men's life, the word destruction, then it is He that began man's life, started man's life, created man's life. God made man and gave him life, and he became a living soul. So as Romans 9 tells us that the potter has power over the clay, God can do with man as He pleases. That He's merciful to all men, to me, is mind-blowing. But that doesn't mean that He gives all men salvation. He has a people, and these people will be sustained by Him. Thus, election teaches us that the extent of our existence is by the hands of God. Since God created man, He wields absolute control over his existence and decides the limits of or the extent of that existence. Moses was extremely aware of this. By the time of this writing, the Hebrew children were going round and around in circles in the desert. They had disobeyed God and had refused to go into the promised land. For their punishment, all those over the age of 20 would not be allowed to go into the promised land then, and would meet their demise in the wilderness. For 40 years, Moses presided over a host of funerals and had become keenly aware of the fact, as Father Abraham before him had, that man is nothing more than dust and ashes, and from the dust he was taken, and to the dust he would return. Election had taught him that in verse 10. God had set the parameters of man's existence, and there in verse 10 we're told that the days of the years of man would be 70 years. That is 70 years. That is the time that God has set a man's existence on the planet, which is 70 years. And if by reason of strength, says verse 10, that they go beyond that 70 to 80 years, it would be full of labor and sorrow, for it would be soon cut off and we fly away. That's how our existence is. We're dust and ashes. Of course, we also understand that some get more years, some get less, but that is all in God's control, by which election teaches us that our exit into eternity is also in the hands of God. He says, "Return, ye children of men," in verse 3, which signifies that God brings man to his appointed end at the time God has appointed. All men have an appointment with death, set by God, and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. That's why we should redeem the time we are given. We should make every moment count for the glory of God. For a truth, if, verse number 4, 1,000 years in God's sight are but as yesterday when it's past, And as a watch in the night, which is about 3 or 4 hours, then you got to know the time you spend here will be just like that. Yesterday, I was 16 years old and running up and down the halls of Kelly High School in Chicago, Illinois. This coming June, I turned 69 years old. It has went by so fast, it's amazing. Won't be long, I'll hit the grand 7-0. Maybe God will give me some extra years, I don't know. He's been real merciful to me. Whether he gives it or not is no consequence to me other than this, is that I get to spend more time with my family. But I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. If God was today to decide to bring me home to glory, I would rejoice, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Election has taught me that. Him electing me unto salvation has given me all those wondrous benefits. And I am trying my best to redeem the time. I may not have much time left, and I want to certainly use it for the glory of the Lord. I want to go out of here in a blaze of glory. I want to be preaching. I want to be singing. I want to be praising Him as I'm taken up. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, that beloved, that we ought to not be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We shouldn't let that just get by us. That's the parameters of our existence as such, however God decides. Verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, the Lord is not concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient to usward, not willing that any of His people should perish, but they all should come to repentance, and they will. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, says Peter, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I don't want to be around for that. I want to be in heaven's domain in New Jerusalem. Seeing then that all these things are dissolved, verse 11, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Oh my goodness, we should be living every day as if it's our last one. We should be loving every day as if it's the last one. We should working as if it's the last one for God, for His glory. We ought to do all things to the glory of God. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Life goes by so, so fast. This is a kind of a weak illustration, but I like to watch YouTube. There's a lot you can learn on YouTube. There's not much on regular TV anymore worth watching. I watch a couple of Westerns on there occasionally. That's about it. I stay away as much as I can from the news channels, because most of the time it's fake news, and I'm not going to fall prey to that mess. But on YouTube, they'll have commercials. I know. There's commercials. But they have a countdown on the commercial, and sometimes they last as much as 13 seconds. But during that time, you can sometimes skip those commercials after about 5 seconds. And many times as those seconds are counting down, it will come to my mind that I cannot reclaim a single one of those seconds. I can't reclaim a single moment of my life. Are you with me? Are you thinking right now? You cannot reclaim a single moment of your life. And if God has saved you, and you understand by the Word of God, as we've read to you right from Psalm 90, that man's years, the parameters of his existence, is 70 years. And some of you have met that already and exceeded it by a few years. What manner of man or woman should you be in serving your Lord? Why, you ought to get up every morning and read your Bible. Every day you should pray. A meal shouldn't get past you that you don't pray over and bless the Lord for giving you that meal. There should not be a day get by that you're not laboring in prayer for your lost loved ones. There should not be any time wasted and you hanging out with your friends rather than going to church when you ought to. And worship and service ought to be premium commodities to you. Oh, my friend, if it's true, and it is, we see the graveyards are full, that our time here on this earth is just a moment in time in the economy of God. Oh, we ought to do everything that we can to live to the glory of God, seeing that God has given us so much. Verse 5 and 6, looking back at Psalm 90, says, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning that grass flourisheth and groweth up, but in the evening it's cut down and withereth." That's how our lives are. That's how our time is. It's gone like a flood. Sweeps everything on by. My mother and dad were 87, 86 respectively. They died within 5 months of each other. In poor old Daryl Lingerfeld's mind, they were going to live forever. But then suddenly they were gone. That was in 2006 and 2007. It don't seem that very long ago. And yet, that's been 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago now, that they left this world. They were here, they were gone. All of my family, with exception of my brother and sister and their families and some cousins, have left this walks of life. My mother's family, before her, it's all gone. My dad's family, all gone. I did a lot of their funerals. Election has taught me that we're here for just a moment. We're like vapor. Like Abraham said to the Lord, "Lord, I know that I'm just dust and ashes," and we are. "From the dust we were taken, the dust we shall return." Thank goodness for salvation. Our soul and spirit is saved. It goes to be with the Lord. And then someday the graves will burst open and we'll receive a brand new body. Oh, hallelujah. What a grand thing that will be. But there in the wilderness, election had taught Moses much, and some of what it taught him had to break his heart as much as it did when he broke the first set of tablets, especially as those renegades he had brought out of Egypt had broken God's own heart with their sin. And thus Moses looks to God and talks to him as the grand sovereign. "Oh Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." As a matter of fact, in verse 7, Moses says, "We are consumed by thine anger for what we've done," if I can paraphrase, "and by thy wrath are we troubled." And certainly they were for 40 years walking around in the desert until those renegade generations had died off. And they couldn't hide their sin, verse 8. Moses says, "Our iniquities were before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." There's no way you can hide what you've done. You better fall on your face and repent of it, which they didn't do. And then Moses makes this statement, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years a tale that is told." And truly, you know that to be a truth. You have the memories of your loved ones. And that is the tales that we tell. And so verse 10, it's a fact. The days of our years are numbered. And we don't know, verse 11, the power of God's anger. We don't know His fear. We don't know His wrath. And the reason why we don't know His wrath is because Christ bore that wrath for us on the cross of Calvary. And so if you're saved today, you can enjoy your years with the grand knowledge that when the extent of your existence is through and you are ready to exit this existence, then you will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. In verse 12, Moses then says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That's what we need to be doing. We ought to be asking God every day, teach us to number our days. In other words, redeem the time, especially since the days are evil. Especially since that we know that we are just a vapor in this world. If a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day, then certainly you know that your life is just a moment in time in the real sense of it. And so you ought to do what Moses does, verse 13. "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants." In other words, Lord, forgive us for how we are, for what we've done, for what we are doing. Many of you that may be listening right now are knocking on death's door and you don't even know it. You're lost and undone without Jesus. You've never asked the Lord to be your Savior. And should the Lord fling that door open, you might spend your eternity in hell. Why not knock on the door in confidence and say, "Lord, have thine own way. I long to be where you are anyway." And so, verse 14, "Lord, we ask you to satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days while we are sojourning here upon this planet. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil." Lord, cancel that all out of your heart and mind, Lord. Toss them into your sea of forgiveness. Throw them as far as east, east, and west. Lord, plunge them in the blood of your Son, that I might know, that I might know you unto everlasting life. Verse 16, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children," or unto their children rather, "and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." While we are here, help us, show us, cause us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And at the same time, be ever looking for the soon return of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've understood this message this morning, but God's election of me, whereby I have been given the mind of Christ, has taught me that my life is just a little sliver of time in eternity. And yet election has also taught me that because I'm in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus in me, because He died for my sins on Calvary, that my life will not stop when I take my last breath here. As a matter of fact, this is how my exit will take place. I will blink my eyes and I'll be in heaven. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll draw my last breath, exhale it, and take my next one in heaven itself. Oh, there's not going to be no place of torments for me. There'll be no limbo for me. There'll be no purgatory for me. Those are not even Bible words. You'll not find any Bible doctrines of that. No, sir. No, ma'am. Jesus is gone to prepare a place for me, that where he is, I will be also. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. But by him I will exit this existence on the exact day, at the exact hour, at the exact second. He is already predestined that it occur. And upon that predestined moment of time, I will slip the surly bonds of this world and go to be where he is in heaven. And only those who know him as Lord and Savior can claim that for themselves. Those who have done what the Word of God tells us to do in Romans chapter 10. And my friends, many folks out there don't even know about the book of Romans. I hope that you'll get yourself a Bible, preferably a King James Version is what I use. And Romans chapter 10 tells us that if we shall with the mouth confess Jesus Christ as Lord and shall believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the Word of God says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, but rather, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, I don't want to die in my sins. I know for a fact if I die in my sins, I'm going to hell. Tell him that. Tell him that you believe in his Son. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. Believe that he's buried, that he rose again. Believe that he's very much alive in heaven right now, sitting next to the Father, even making intercession for those who he has saved. I plead with you. Be saved today. Plead with him to save you. He has never turned any one away that will call upon him. So, the grand doctrine of election, whereby men are elected unto salvation, chosen to be saved, teaches me that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And those that believe are in Christ Jesus. How long? A day? A week? The 70 years of the parameters that have been given to us? No, 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 for eternity. Eternity. And so, election has taught me those five things. All of my existence has been by the gracious hand of God. That I exist was his choice. That I am existing is his mercy. That I will exit this existence into eternity where he is, his is grace. And today that is available to everyone that will call upon him. I plead with you today, don't waste another moment. Right where you are, right where you are, plead with him. Say, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I know if I die right now, I'm going to hell. Oh, Lord, I know that my only hope of missing hell is through your Son. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I know I'm a hopeless sinner, a helpless sinner, but I know Christ can help me. Lord Jesus, save me. Save me. Repent of your sins, beloved. Trust in Jesus. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. What a grand and wonderful thing we have in him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toil, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. and grace will lead me home. Oh, my friends, today, His grace is amazing, but it's nothing to you unless you repent of your sins and trust in His Son. And for all who will, He grants repentance and faith whereby you can be saved. Call on Him. Lord Jesus, save me. Let's pray. Father God, today, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the grand doctrine of election that has taught us so much concerning our own existence. Oh, how wondrous it is to know that we have been given so great a salvation, and that, Lord, though our life here is but a moment in time, our eternity is fixed with You, and we shall dwell in Your house forever and ever. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in this place we don't fear any evil, for Thou art with us even now. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort us. And though You prepare us a table sometime in the presence of our enemies, You still anoint our heads, and our cup runneth over with the grand knowledge that soon and very soon we shall see our King, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord, Your house, forever and ever. Blessed be Your name. Great is Thy faithfulness in letting us know, in teaching us these grand things. Bless You, Father. Bless You, God. Bless You, Jesus, for the wondrous work that You have done in us, for us. Bless You, Holy Spirit, for keeping it fresh on our minds, teaching us these things. And so, Lord, today, in the name of Jesus, we ask these things, say these things, pray these things. Amen. And amen.